this morning. Book of Psalms, chapter 101. I am very thankful for the era that God has allowed me to live in. I mean, to me, it's just absolutely marvelous. I can remember my daddy farming with horses, picking corn by hand. I can remember we didn't have central heat. We had heating methods. One was to go out and chop the wood. You get heated up once doing that, and the other was bring it inside and set it on fire. Actually, we didn't have a wood burner, but it was a stove, and we used cobs in it most of the time, and then we had a coal furnace that you'd shovel coal into every so often. And if you didn't, guess what happened? You got cold. We didn't know what insulation was. My mom, she said later, she said, "Boy, if we'd have known that, we'd have probably made that door a little longer that hung on the back side of the house, and the wind came underneath, and the snow would come in." But anyways, it's been 40 years ago since we saw a man go on the moon, and the things that we've seen take place, the computer age that we live in. A lot of our young folks here have no idea what it's like to live without a computer. I grew up without Xbox. I'm still living without it. Didn't have video games. We actually had to go outside and find friends and play with them. And those kinds of things. It's just a great thing, and to see how God has done things through the years. We've seen things not only get nicer in some ways, we've seen things get worse in some ways. We've seen the deterioration of our nation. I'm scared the direction it's headed. It's hard to say what's going to happen the next few years. We're going to have to take what comes. And a lot of that is because we have sowed the wrong things. But we live at a great time, too. The opportunities, they are marvelous. Do you know there's more people who need Christ today than ever before? Now think about that. There are more people that need to hear the gospel than ever in history of mankind. And we have the opportunity to be able to give them that gospel. We have an opportunity in America now to really to suffer some persecution, which will make us better people. We have the privilege really to live in a time that's more difficult as a Christian. And you're going to get made fun of at times and different things like that. So your faith is going to have to be real. Amen. So it's just exciting to me as I look at the times we live in. And I still love the state of Iowa. I still like snow. I still like cold weather. I like hot weather not as well. But God gives us all these different things, and just we all be excited with what God's given us. Amen. Anybody can complain. I know how to do it, but it doesn't do me any good. We look here in Psalm chapter 101. We find something. We find chapter 100 is a psalm of praise. And what a great psalm that is. And then chapter 101 is a psalm of practice. And what we find here is David, who is in the early stages of kingship, or about to be, making his resolve of upon becoming the king of Israel. We could call it a psalm of pious resolution. You say, you're going to talk about resolutions? New Year's resolutions? Who keeps those? You'll never keep what you don't make. You'll never improve if you have no intentions. You'll never go further if you don't lift up your eyes. It just won't happen. And so it is good for us, not only at this time of the year, as we look to a new one, to make resolution, to resolve in our hearts some things, it's good for us to do that quite often. And to renew our commitments to the Lord. As we read here, I want you to notice, and we don't find the word resolve, but we find David, as he's speaking under inspiration of the Spirit, saying, I will. This is what I'm going to do. Notice what he says. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my home or my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for this tremendous psalm. Thank you for the resolve of this, your man. Lord, you have made us. If we're saved today, we are men and women of God. You have made us kings and priests. You have so designated us that, and so the application becomes very obvious that it can be to our lives. Help us today to apply to each of our hearts and to gain, to learn, and we might go from here making use of your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. A psalm of pious resolution. As we begin in this psalm, in verse number 1, I find that that resolve is as to the Lord. Let me read that again. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Wow. I will sing. We mentioned this morning, but we find that one of the things that we see in the book of Ephesians with the filling of the Spirit of God is a song that comes out of the heart. And singing, what a wondrous thing it is. I was watching as Emily was singing this morning, and it's amazing to watch the expression on faces. Some of you, you sat there and you, it's like, she gets done, the preachers are going to be up there, and I'm going to have to endure that for 30 minutes. But I'm so thankful for the Word of God that says, he that endures shall be saved. And so we go through some of the motions. Some of you, when the things like that start, I mean, it's pretty good through the song service, but if we have special music, you're beginning through that time, just begin to fade off into never, never land. Never to hear God's voice in your life. Never to know what He might have said to you had you stayed awake. And off we go. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I'm thankful today's age because we have cell phones, and some of you forget to turn them on, turn them off. And you know, that's not all of a bad thing, because once in a while one of those goes off and everybody goes, oh, they forgot something. At least you're awake for a moment. But watch you while you're singing. I wish all of you could sit up here. There's one individual in our church I just love to watch, but I couldn't see her today. And it's your fault. Yeah, it's your fault, Denise, because I could not see through you, because right behind you...
It's your mother-in-law.
No, I could see her. But we used to know her as Miss Mazur. Huh? Anyways, she's sitting right there, and I love to watch her when she's singing and when other people are singing. If you could see the face of an angel, I mean, it's just wrapped up in it. And glorious rapture, I can see it all over her face. And I'm thinking to myself, wouldn't it be neat if all the folks in Open Door Baptist Church were sitting there and they were singing like that. Glory to God in the highest. And I mean, they just got those things there. I will sing, he says. And some folks, they just, I don't know what they do. But he says, here, I will sing of the mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Who will you sing to? Yeah, it's to the Lord. You know, when somebody sings a special, and you say, well, they're singing to the congregation. When they're singing to the Lord, what a thing that does to those in the congregation. I mean, what is she saying? Great is thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness unto me. Knowing that young lady, I know that's something that she experiences in her life. And that comes through. And so we can extol both His love and His judgment. We can look at these things and admire the goodness of God and admire the justice of God. And what we see in our superiors, and God is our superior, is that which begins to manifest itself in us. And mercy and judgment, by the way, tempered the administration of David as the king. But we find here that his resolution is, I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. And then he says in verse number 2, and he says here in the first one, as to the Lord, and then as to his home, I will behave myself in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How we behave at home really says who we are. Oh, we can come to church, you know, and we look so pious and wonderful. And on the way, we are fighting with our wife. And we're screaming at the kids. And we're mad from last week. And everything's wrong. But we walk in the house of God. Oh, hi, buddy. How are you doing? So good to see you. Yes. How are you doing? Oh, praise God. I'm wonderful. And you walk out and fight with her on the way home. First car gets in your way. Me! You're upset. You got road rage. How we behave at home. The Bible says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. As we know, David was not always wise in his behavior, but he had the intention to be. David made some mistakes, and you're going to make some too. But what is our intention? If we don't resolve to do well, we won't. He that shoots at something and misses at least shot and tried. He that has nothing to shoot at never hits anything. And probably won't even fire. How we need to have something to shoot for. And because David knows his future and what is going to be need in his life, notice the middle of that verse, he says, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? He understands and longs for the presence of God. Piety begins at home. And so we find here that he has a resolution as to the Lord, as to his home. And then we find some particulars in his resolutions. And I'd like for us to just zero in on these particulars, because many of these particulars are in his resolve to separate from evil. Have you noticed it's easier for us to talk about staying away from something than to stay with something? The Lord, as he gave us the Ten Commandments, said, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do that. By the way, you know what God gave us? Ten Commandments. And they all seem like they say, don't do this and don't do that. Because there is so much we can do. And we get this negative idea about God. In the Garden of Eden, he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But everything else you can eat of. Oh, God is so negative. Yeah, one thing, don't do it. But you can do anything else. Anything else. And so we find here that God has some particulars, and there's some things we ought to stay away from. There's some things that are going to be of help to us. Notice verse number 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What should we resolve? We ought to resolve to take very good care of what we see with these eyes of ours. What we behold. The things that we allow to come into our view. We could put our TV there. We could put all sorts of media there. Isn't it interesting today that parents buy their children all these little games to play, and what are they doing? They're killing things all the time. And then they wonder why they have violent natures. Interesting. Maybe if we practice what God says here in some areas. If you and I would understand that we ought to hate the work of them that turn aside, we ought to judge those works and look at those things and not go with those people who are doing those. Determined not to fellowship with them. Doesn't mean we don't try to win them to Christ. Does not mean we're unfriendly to folks. But listen, if folks are involved in doing things that are wrong, we ought not be going with them. Real simple. If you're with your buddies and mom and dad taught you you're not to drink, and it's your intention not to do it because mom and dad taught you, but your buddies are there and they get it, what's going to likely happen? Doesn't it stand to reason? And so we look at this, and there's some particulars we ought to resolve. Verse number 4 says, "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." Froward, it means contrary. A contrary heart shall depart from me. I'm going to stay away from those things that are going to take me the wrong direction. I will not know a wicked person. What do you mean by that? That word "know" is an interesting word in the Bible. And when we go back to Adam and Eve and it says that Adam knew his wife, it doesn't mean he had a knowledge of her. It's talking about he had a very strong relationship with her. And that's what it's referring to here. I will not have that kind of relationship with a wicked person. We need discretion with the people that we hang around. Is it not true? Friends can pull us up or pull us down. And sometimes we look and we say, well, if he got with a bad crowd, he made the decision to get with a bad crowd. And they pulled him down. Well, don't get with the bad crowd. Get with the right crowd that is going to pull you up. Verse number 5, "Who privately, if you please, slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." Particulars to resolve from evil. To stay away from those who are making dishonest remarks about others. Those who have that kind of pride in their life, not going to what? Enter into life with them. I'm not going to have that around me. We need discretion with people. We need to be with those kind that are of a good heart. Those who have humility of heart and mind. Kings and presidents ought to be of humility in their heart and mind. Time out. I think President Obama needs to read Psalm 101. Time in. A time out and practice it. Time in. No, sir, 7. "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Listen, cheats in the marketplace are bad enough, but we don't need to have them sitting at our tables. We don't need those around us. Those who tell lies. There are people and situations we need to stay away from. What are we seeing here? God's saying we need to separate ourselves from those things that are evil. Those things that are going to take us down. Those things that are going to destroy us. And if we would be honest, we'll find there are many things like that in our lives. Verse number 8 says, "I will early destroy all the wicked of the land." that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Early judgment upon evil will further the cause of good and help us to overcome the evil. Judgment, as we find later in the Bible, must begin at the house of the Lord. Jesus, we find, what did He do? He went into the temple and began to scourge the temple with cords and to bring judgment upon it. Honorable offices bear serious responsibilities. Moms and dads, and presidents and kings and governors and congressmen, we need to understand something here, and that is, there must be judgment upon that which is wrong. There must be separation from it. If we're going to sing of the mercy and judgment of the Lord, if we're going to walk wisely in our homes, then we must also be very careful with those whom we associate. Every person who's ever attended Open Door Baptist Church and was saved and is now gone, with the exception of some who've moved and some things, I mean gone out of church and not serving God today, got with the wrong crowd and got away from that which was good influence in their life. Especially the Word of God. When a person sets down the Bible and gets with the wrong people, you write it down. They're headed in the wrong direction. And David, as he's becoming king, says, I'm not going to go that direction. Notice verse number 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He will seek out those that are faithful, dwell with these to ensure his own faithfulness, to go in the right direction. How necessary it is to resolve these things. Let me ask you a question. How many times in the year 2014 was the fellowship and association with people outside of the church so important to you that you missed fellowship and association with people inside the church? Let's make it real clear. How many times you missed last year? What is more important to you? You see, God says it's very important who we hang around with. You say, well, those folks at Open Door Baptist Church, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, I know. They don't always have everything straightened out. But I guarantee you, those in the world, they are the real hypocrites. Because it's all about them, nothing's about the Lord. How important are the people of God to you? How important is God to you? Seriously. Well, I just will go down this path because things don't get clear unless I do some things. Is your family reunion with a bunch of lost people more important to you than the family reunion with your saved friends on a Sunday morning? Is your work's Christmas party more important to you that just happens to be on a Wednesday night than being in the house of God on Wednesday night? Here's a strange thing. The least attended church service for a Sunday night is Easter Sunday. Sunday morning is sometimes the most attended. What happens between 6 o'clock or 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock? And why does it happen? Seriously. People say, "Preacher, would you pray for my family? I want to see them get saved." But then you skip church services to do something with your family that says to your family, it's not nearly as important you say it is. Brethren, I don't say this out of anger. It really bothers me. I wonder what it does to God when so many things become more important to us than His house. When so many things become important to us more so than His Word. Deuteronomy, let me find the chapter. Chapter 17. I hope this book is precious to you. Did you read it through last year? Did you take some time in your day-to-day adventure to let God speak to your heart? Did you allow to do some things in your life? Or were we too busy for God? I'm amazed that so many people can tell you the scores from games and tell you all the players. And you could ask them a few questions about the Bible and they don't know. Have no idea. It's a book for life. Deuteronomy 17. That's part of my reading this morning. I got to this spot and I thought, wow. Verse 14 says, "When thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me like to as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return more, no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to of himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall what? Read therein all the days of his life." Do you notice what's after the word life? It's a colon. He's got an explanation coming. It's very, very important. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. God gave special instructions to the king. I go back in the New Testament, I find out that, mentioned earlier, you and I, we are kings and priests. God said that about us. We're going to rule with him one day. And we get excited about that. But here's what the king was supposed to do. Verse 18. Look at it again. Then he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. Oh. What's he supposed to do first of all? Write a copy. Write a copy. You ever sit down and just written the Word of God out? You're shaking your head out, Millie. You've done that? Yeah. Does it do something for you? There's something about it. I don't know what it is. Writing it out. There are, going into your mind, five gates. One of them's your eyes. One of them's your taste. One of them's your ears. Yeah. One of them's your nose. And one of them's your feelings. Your touch. When you write it out, how many are working? How many gates are working into your mind? And all those are different kinds of learners. But it's interesting here. If you're writing, you're doing what? You're feeling it. If you're writing it, you're what? Seeing it. Yeah, isn't that interesting? And probably you are hearing it. Because if you're reading it and then copying it, you're probably saying it or whispering it. If you got a really sweet pencil, you taste it once in a while. It's amazing. So what's he say here? Write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. So make yourself a copy. In our day and age, we can buy them. What would it be like if we actually sit down and typed it out on the computer or wrote it out by hand? Amazing what happens. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein when? All the days of thy life. There's something that David had. It was resolve. It was to stay away from those things that was going to pull him down and to stay around those things that was going to pull him up. Stay away from that which is going to take him away from God, and stay close to that which is going to take him to God. By the way, parents, that's very important for you and your children. We seek to bring them to God, and then on Monday send them away to somebody that's going to take them away from God. And we need to be very, very careful who we associate with. That it might be that which is going to draw us to him. Amen? And hang around the right kind of crowd. And be in the Word of God. What greater crowd can you have than to be around those who love God and wrote about it in his book? We have a tremendous opportunity. What are you going to resolve this year? Well, I've been thinking about resolving. I'm going to lose some weight this year. Let me help you. Wrong resolution. I'm serious. Resolve to exercise, resolve to eat better. The weight loss goes with those things. Amen? Yeah. You can eat better. You can do some exercise. Those are things you can do. I have been exercising and gaining weight. I gained 10 pounds last year. I hope it's muscle. She's trying to assure me. I've been exercising a lot. It hasn't taken any off. Bill back there, he's been exercising. It's been coming off. He's losing. I'm finding it. He said, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. You know, whatever. But listen, make some valid resolutions. Yeah. You can hang around the right people. Resolve to do that. Be in the house of the Lord. By the way, can you find scripturally where you're not to be in the house of God? Can you find scripturally where you're not to be in the Word of God daily? Can't do it. But God wants that in our lives. We can resolve to do those things. What is amazing is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we resolve to do that, our faith grows. And a lot of folks say, boy, I wish I had faith like so-and-so. Well, there's how to get it. You hear about it. Yeah. And you hear how God's done it in other lives. And you hear how God's working in the lives of people you know. And your faith can grow. By the way, that's how folks get saved too. They hear the Word of God. The Word of God tells us we're sinners and we're lost and we deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ came and died for us. And if you're here today without Christ, listen, wouldn't it be great you start the new year with Him? Wow. Whole year to living for God. Some of you got saved last year. Somewhere during the year. Some of you are coming upon a birthday, your first whole year in the Lord. Amen. Are we growing? See, we ought to have more faith now than we did then. Amen? And we can grow in Him. It's what God wants for us. It's my desire for you. I say hard things to try to wake you. To say, hey, listen, we can do it better. Every one of us can. We can walk closer to God. We can see Him doing marvelous things in our lives. We can be excited about the things of God. We can come to church and say, wow, wasn't that great? Oh, man, what a great song. Great is thy faithfulness. And know in your heart because you experienced it. And now it's a praise from your heart to the Lord as well. And singing unto Him. Father, today work in our hearts. Bless, I pray. Oh God, today help us to see vital truth here. That You have something for us. That You want us to walk close with You. And, oh God, so often we do those things that pull us away. We get so stupid in the things we do. And the folks we hang around with, and all those things that drag us down. David said he'd not set a wicked thing before his eyes, and yet we allow some of the most horrible things to come before our eyes. And they rob us and deprive us. God, help us to see these things and to make the resolve to go in the right direction, to be around the right ones, to be in the Word of God, and allow its wondrous pages and words to fill our hearts and lives. God, work in us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at. Listen, why don't you resolve right now and say, Lord, I want to go in the right direction. Listen, something you could do this morning. It's not going to put a notch in my spiritual gun, but something you might do just to make it very real in your heart. Step out of your seat, walk down this aisle, bend your knee up here, bow your head and say, God, I am going to do some things. This is the direction I'm going to head this year in my life. Perhaps you need to come say, Lord, I've gone the wrong direction and I'm changing that because I want you to be number one in my life in 2015. No more of this nonsense, up and down, in and out, and sometimes do and sometimes don't. God, you're number one. Perhaps you're here today and you say, Preacher, I need Christ as my Savior. Would you come and meet with me? Let God have His way.